Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Bet. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas that we saw in the Mishnah yesterday as to what is essential or me'akev with regards to the korbanot on Shavuot. And there we said that Rabbi Akiva believes that the lechem, the shtei lechem that come with the two kivsei atzeret, the shlamim on Shavuot, are the thing that is me'akev. And the lechem is essential, whereas the kvasim are non-essential, and you can bring the lechem without the kvasim, but vice versa, you cannot bring the kvasim without the lechem. Ben Nanas disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon Ben Nanas said that it's the kvasim that are essential, and the lechem is secondary, and therefore, if you brought the kvasim without the lechem, it would be fine, but if you brought the lechem without the kvasim, then it would not be okay, because the kvasim are me'akev. We ended off yesterday with their limud from the end of the pasuk that's found in Vayikra Chav Gimel. V'nifo kohen otam alechem avikrim tnufa lifnei Hashem ashne kvasim kodesh yu l'Hashem l'kohen. And the machloket was how to interpret l'Hashem l'kohen, whether it means something that's completely to the kohen or something that's also to Hashem and the kohen. Now continuing from that, the Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol modim. Everyone agrees, which seemed to imply that's the agreement between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. If they become inextricably connected, the kvasim and the lechem, shemakvim zeze, then they are me'akev each other. They do become essential to each other, and they cannot be divided or separated. Which would mean that if one of them was lost, meaning the lechem, or the kvasim were lost in this situation, they would be irreplaceable, and you could not continue on without one or the other. Now, what is the thing that makes them this tied together or connected so inextricably that they cannot be separated? Shchita. It's the act of shchita. When the shech, the kivsei atzeret, the shlamim that are brought on Shavuot, they are mikadesh the lechem that is brought, the shtei lechem. And since they are mikadesh the lechem, they become intertwined at that point in time. And as Rashi points out, if you then lost the kvasim or you lost the lechem, either one of those would be me'akev, and you couldn't bring the other item without the two of them being there, both the shtei lechem and the kivsei atzeret. Now, the Karen Ora asks over here, why is that the case? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas said that one is not me'akev the other. Rabbi Akiva said that it was only the lechem that was me'akev, and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas said it was only the kvasim that were me'akev. So why is it different over here? So he explains that the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas is when you brought one of them individually, as we'll see later on in today's daf, if you just brought the lechem, then Rabbi Akiva says it's fine. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says it's not fine. Or if you just brought the kvasim, then Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says it's fine, and Rabbi Akiva says it's problematic. But here, where you brought them together, both of them are going to agree that there is an ikuv between them because of the fact that they were brought together and they were established together. That's the way Karen Ora explains it. The Sfadamet has a slightly different way to explain that. But the idea being that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas would agree in this case. Amar Ula, Ba'u b'marova, they asked in Eretz Yisrael, Tnufa oseh zikah o eno oseh zikah? Does Tnufa, the wave offering that is done, does that create a connection between these two items like Shchita does? Now, the question revolves around Tnufa, which there are two tnufot on the shtei alechem. The one that we read in the pasuk just before, which is enifa kohen otam alechem habikurim tnufa lifnei Hashem ashne kvasim kodesh yu l'Hashem l'kohen, is before the shchita of the kvasim. There's a wave offering that's done with the kvasim and the shtei alechem. And then after the kvasim are shechted, there's a wave offering of certain parts of the kvasim along with the lechem as well. And so that's a second tnufa. But the tnufa that we're speaking about here is the tnufa that is before the shchita and includes the lechem and the kvasim, which would make sense. There's a little bit of a problem with the Rambam shita, because the Rambam believes that the lechem is only waved, not with the kvasim, but with only the parts of the animal that have a wave offering after it's shechted. So over here, what's the Gemara speaking about? So the Griz has an explanation, the Rambam, that the Rambam believes that the lechem can go with either the kvasim before the shchita or with the parts of the animal after the shchita. And it's more appropriate or better to do it afterwards. But if you did it before, you would be yotze. And therefore, there is a possibility of having a tenufa, a wave offering that connects between the kvasim and the lechem. Now, the Gemara says the simple answer, which is pashut lemi de Rabbi Yochanan. We can answer that question based on Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Tam Rabbi Yochanan shchita osa azika. That this shchita creates this intertwining or connection between the two items. Michlal. From that, you would conclude that tenufa ain't osa azika. that Tnufa wouldn't do such because the fact that Tnufa comes before Shechita, and Rabbi Yochanan says that Shechita is the pivotal point at where they become connected, then obviously he doesn't believe Tnufa does that, because otherwise he would have said Tnufa would be a bigger chiddush, it would be even earlier on. The fact that he says Shechita must come to be the exclusion of Tnufa. Gemara says, maybe that is actually what Rabbi Yochanan is in a doubt about. Rabbi Yochanan gufa kami vayle. Maybe that's exactly the question that Rabbi Yochanan has. Mifsha pshitole, the Rabbi Yochanan de shchita osazika. Clear to Rabbi Yochanan that shchita is successful at creating a bond between the two items. Utnufa en osazika. And tnufa doesn't do that. So did Rabbi Yochanan make a definitive statement? Shchita and not tnufa, not the wave offering. Odilma shchita pshitole. Shchita he is certain about. Tnufa misapkale. And tnufa he's not certain about whether tnufa can do it. So he made the statement that he was sure about, but he did not mention tnufa, but he's actually uncertain about tnufa. The Gemara leaves as a teiku, as an unresolved issue as to whether tnufa has the capacity to connect between the animals, even though we know for sure that shchita does connect. Amar le Rav Yehuda bar Chanina the Rav Huna b'rei the Rav Yeshua v'haki k'tiv kodesh yuda shem la kohen. The pasuk that we've been quoting all along, which is the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, butter tnufa k'tiv. That's written after the tnufa. So the ikuv, or the item that Rabbi Akiva and ben Anas say are me'akev over here, that pasuk of la shem la kohen comes after the mention of tnufa in the pasuk. So if that's the case, butter tnufa k'tiv, it's written after the tnufa is done, upligi ben Anas Rabbi Akiva. And ben Anas Rabbi Akiva still argue after tnufa. So that means that it's clear that tnufa can't be the threshold point at which they become intertwined. Because if that was the case, why would there be an argument between Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva after tnufa in the pasuk, where they find the Lashem Lakohen after tnufa in the pasuk? Because tnufa would have already connected them to the point where they could not be separated anymore, and there should be no machloket. From there, you would prove that it's shchita and not tnufa. And he says, v'litameich, according to your reasoning, batar tnufa v'lo batar shchita. Obviously, the giving of the item to the kohen doesn't happen before shchita either. It happens after shchita. So if you think that this proves that tnufa is not the threshold, but shchita has the same problem. Shchita is also prior to the iyul l'shem l'kohen. So how could you question tnufa and not question shchita? Amayit l'chala meymar. So how would you answer that problem for shchita? Mikarikoi. It's talking about beforehand, meaning that the eventual item will yeh l'shem l'kohen, will end up with either l'shem and the kohen or the kohen exclusively, depending on the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, whether you think it's the shlamim or the lechem. But that is in the future; it will be in their possession. It's not saying that the ikuv only takes place at a later stage, but rather it's telling you that the ikuv happens at shchita based on what will be given to the kohen later on. And therefore, the explanation will be, my kodesh yul shem la kohen, davar she sofo la kohen. Something that would eventually end up with the kohen. Hachanami, I can answer the same thing for tnufa. Davar she sofo la kohen. By tnufa, I can say the same thing. It's not that it's something that happens after the tnufa. It's just something that in the eventually will end up with the kohen, even though we're talking about tnufa right now, and that is the connection point or the tying point between the items. So just like by shchita, you have to give an explanation for why it says kodesh iyu l'Hashem l'kohen, meaning that that is what eventually will be given to the kohen. So to over here by the tnufa, we'll say it's what eventually will be given to the kohen, not that somehow later on the ikuv happens after the point of tnufa. Just like by shchita, doesn't happen after the point of shchita, but rather at the point of shchita, in anticipation of what the kohen will get, and that determines what will be me'akev prior to that point in time. Now the Gemara questions the underlying thesis of Rabbi Yochanan, which is shchita osa zika. Is it really true that shchita creates this bond between the kvasim and the lechem? Remini, we have a breita. The breita has three sections to it. And speaking about a korban todah, korban todah comes with 40 lechemim. We're going to see this later on in the Masechta. And all 40 of those lechemim are brought together with the todah. Todah has a unique property as a subset of shlamim that it's only eaten for one day and one night, as opposed to a regular shlamim that's eaten for 2 days and one night. In addition, it has to have the 40 lechem. And of those 40 lechem, there are 4 different types, 10 of each. And one of each of those 10 is given to the kohen as a gift. So the question is, what's the interplay between the lechemim and the todah? Now here, the todah does not have a wave offering before the shchita. It has a wave offering after the shchita, but not before the shchita. So that eliminates the possibility that we're talking about tnufa being the threshold. It must be that shchita would have been the threshold. And now if I compare it to the kvasim and the shtei lechem, Rabbi Yochanan says shchita binds these two items together, then so too by the Todah, the Shchitata Todah, which is Mekadesh Lelechem, should also create this inexorable link between the two of them. And therefore, if one is Pasul, or one of them disappears, it should affect the other. But that's not what happens in the Braita. Remini, Achelo Shachta Nifras Lachma. If before the Shchita happened, one of the Lechemim collapsed, and therefore is no longer whole, you need to replace it because that's not considered to be a good Lechem. Yavi Lechem Acher, bring other Lechem to replace it. Vishochet, and then you do the Shchita. Since the Shchita is Mekadesh the Lechem, anything that happens before the Shchita is only something that has Kedushat Damim, monetary value, and can be Nifteh, can be redeemed and replaced. The Kedushat Aguf only takes place once there's Shchita, and therefore before Shchita it can be replaced. After Shchita, Mishashachta, Nifras Lachma, if after the Shechting took place, one of the Lachamim broke down, Adami Zarek, you do the Zrikat Adam for the Korban, Vabasar Yachel, and the Korban can be eaten. Vide Indidro, Lo Yatza, his Neder, he's not Yotze, he was supposed to bring a Korban Todah, now he's failing to bring a Korban Todah, because the definition of a Korban Todah is a Korban along with 40 Lechamim. Over here, he fails to bring the Lechamim because they became Pasul before the Zrikat Adam. Vide Nidro Zav, Alechem Pasul. And the lechem is pasul, and that's what disqualifies it. And Rashi points out here that when you do the zrikat adam, you have to do the zrikat adam l'shem shlamim, because it's no longer a valid todah, and you have to do it l'shem shlamim. Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shittuk Mugetzer go as far as to say that not only is it a shem shlamim, but it takes on the character of a shlamim, and therefore it can be eaten for 2 days and one night. It's no longer like a todah, it's actually a now converted shlamim. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Karen Ora suggests, has a different view, and that you do Zrikat Adam L'Todah, and there's such a concept as a Todah without Lechem, which we'll see later on in the Masechta, and therefore it remains a Todah, eaten for 1 day and one night, it just won't have Lechem, and that's why you're not Yotze the Neder, because the Neder is a Todah with Lechemim associated with it. Now, as far as the disqualification from being a proper Korban Todah because of the Lechem that broke down, Rashi says about that, Lo Yadana Minalan Demifsal. He says, I don't know where this came from, that one of the breads out of the 40, if it crumbles or breaks down, it disqualifies all of them. Benir Beinai, even though it's not found in the Gemara, that the Gemara assumes that from the Lechem Apanim, that we learned earlier in the Masechta by regards to the Lechem Apanim, that if one of them crumbles or is not whole, that disqualifies all of the Lechem Apanim. And since that's considered to be a Mincha or a Chalot, so therefore we can extrapolate from the din of Lechem Apanim over here to the din of Todah. And that's what Rashi says, the source for the fact that if one of the Lechemim crumbles or breaks down, that it disqualifies all the Lechem. Now, Nizrak Adam, once the Dam is sprinkled, Toreim min ha-shalem ala parus. Then you can take off from the whole one on the broken one. Now you have to take from the whole one because it says echad that goes to the Kohen. Gemara Dashin some echad that has to be whole. So you take one of the whole ones and you give it to the Kohen as his gift, the one out of the 10 that's supposed to be given to the Kohen from all the 40 loaves. So you give 4 whole loaves to him. And it will count as if there are full 40 loaves over there because the Zrikat Adam is already completed. Once the Zrikat Adam is done, it's as if the Korban is completed and the Lechem is fine or is not Pasul. It's just that there's a requirement that you give a whole one to the Kohen. So you give the whole one to the Kohen and the remaining ones will be eaten by the person who brought the Korban Todah. So you see here, first of all, that the threshold does not seem to be Shchita, which the Gemara will focus on it in a minute, because at this point the Korban is Kasher and the Lechem is Pasul. If Shchita created this link between them that they could not be separated, then if the Lechem was Pasul, the Korban should have been Pasul as well. Now the Braita has another scenario, which is, we just spoke about it crumbled or broke down, Nifrisa Lechem. The next case is Achlo Shachta Yatza Lachma. Before he did Shchita, the Lechem left. Now the Lechem to leave, this is a Korban Shlamim, and since it's a Korban Shlamim, or Todah is a subset of Shlamim, it's Kodshim Kalim. Kodshim Kalim are allowed to be eaten throughout Yerushalayim. So for the Lechem to leave the location where it's considered to be within the boundaries, would have to leave Yerushalayim. And that's what Rashi says, it went chutz l'chomat Yerushalayim. So if the breads left and went outside of Yerushalayim, they're no longer qualified to be the breads of the Korban Todah. But since this happened before the Shchita, Machnisa, you can bring it back into Yerushalayim, the Shochet, and do the Shchita. Because the Shchita is what grants it Kedushat Haguf, not Kedushat Damim. Kedushat Damim has monetary Kedushah. That's what it had until now. Once you shech the animal, all these disqualifications of Tameh, Yotzei, all affect the item because now it has Kedushat Haguf. So until the point of shkita, yitziah, or leaving the area, it's not a problem. Once it's brought back into the area, you bring it back in, and then you shecht it, and that will grant it kedusha. Mishi shechta, if after shkita yatza lachma, the lechem left Yerushalayim, adam yizarek v'basar yeachel, it sprinkled the dam, Rashi again says, l'shem shlamim, basar yeachel, you can eat the korban. And again, the machlok between Rashi and the Rambam as to whether you eat it as a shlamim or as a todah. Bidei nidro lo yatza, you don't discharge your nether because you didn't bring a korban todah with lechem, which is the requirement. A lechem pasul, and the lechem is once again pasul. Yizrak adam, if the dam of the korban was already sprinkled, so that it's completed, toreim mima shebifnim al shebechutz. Then, even if one of them left, you take one of those that remained inside or internally and is not disqualified because of yotze, you give that to the kohen, and that will be matir, the remaining of the items to be eaten by the individual who brought them, with the exception of the ones that are outside, that are yotze. So what it helps you with is the fact that it counts towards the 40 loaves that you had to bring. It is disqualified, but it does not disqualify the remainder of them, and you give the ones that remain inside to the kohen, and the ones that are outside are disqualified, and the ones that remain inside that weren't given to the kohen can be eaten. So now here comes the third scenario, which is going to be slightly different than the first two scenarios, which is ad shelo shechta nitma. Before shechita, the bread became tameh. Nitma lachma, the bread became tameh. Mevi lechem acher. You bring a replacement lechem. Just like we did before with the broken lechem, we brought new lechem in to replace it. So to over here, if it comes tameh, because it only has kedushat tamim, not kedushat aguf, you can replace it. Veshochet. And then you do the shechita and you continue with the regular process. Mishe shechta, if after the shechita tatoda, nitma lachma, the lechem became tameh, Adam yizarek v'basar ye'achel. You sprinkle the dam and the basar is eaten. Videi nidro yatza. And over here you do discharge your nether. This is different than the other two cases where it said you did not discharge your nether. Here you do because it sits meratzei al tameh. It sits as the ability to override tuma to make it as if it doesn't exist. Now it does exist from the perspective that you can't eat the item, but nevertheless it doesn't exist in terms of disqualification. And therefore the breads are considered to be good even though they became tameh. They count towards the breads or the loaves that you need for the 40 loaves, and therefore you are qualified in terms of bringing a korban todah and the breads that go along with it. But nevertheless, the lechem pasul. The lechem is pasul because the tzitz is meratzeh to override the tumah and make it kasher, but it doesn't make it permissible to eat it. Tosfot over here has some questions about the girsa, because he says if you're yotzei the neder, it makes it sound like the bread is fine. So if the bread is fine, why is the lechem pasul? And maybe not all of them became tameh. Why, if one of them became tameh, do all of them become tameh? Maybe one became tameh, and you could be mafrish from the tohor ala tameh, and the lechem should be kasher. So therefore, Tosfot posits the possibility that it should be bidei nidro lo yatza, that you're not yotzei the neder over here, but then he runs into other problems with that explanation. But just be aware of the fact that it's a little bit of a tension here, that the neder you are discharging, yet the lechem all becomes pasul just because one of them became tameh. Yizrak adam, if the dam was already sprinkled, like in all these other cases, torim min ha-tohor ala tameh, then you take off one of the tohorim on the tameh, and you give the tohor to the kohen. Whatever remains you can eat, with the exception of those that are tameh, which the tzitz is meratza on, but that doesn't matter because the zrikat the dam is already done. And number two is the tzitz doesn't help for eating with regards to tumah, and therefore over here, you would not be able to eat the lechem that is tameh, but you would discharge your obligation. And now the Gemara asks the question based on this braita, isakadatra shchita osa zika. If shchita is that creates the connection between the korban and the lechem by the kvasim of atzeret of Shavuot and the shtei lechem, so too by the shchita ta korban todah, it should do the same thing for the 40 lechemim. Kevin shehuskuhu zelazeh b'shchita. So then, since they became interdependent, once there was shchita, if silay lechem tipasel nami todah, how can you have all these cases where the korban is fine and the lechem is problematic? In all the scenarios here, mishishachta, after shchita, the lechem is disqualified and the korban is fine. That shouldn't be possible given the fact that they became interdependent at the time of shchita. If one is disqualified, the other should be disqualified. Mar says, shani todah rachmana kar yeshlamim. Todah is different than a shlamim because the Torah called it a shlamim. The todah is a subset of shlamim. And the truth is that the korban atzeret on Shavuot, shnei kvasim, are also a shlamim. So now we have to understand what the difference is between them. Ma shlamim krevim below lechem. Just like a regular shlamim can be brought without breads, af todah karva below lechem. Also, the todah can be brought without lechem. Now, the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it, and seemingly Rashi also explains it this way, is the fact that Todah is called Zevach Todat Shlamav. It has given two names. It's called a Todah, and it's called the Shlamim. And therefore, sometimes it's a Todah, and that's when it has the breads, and sometimes it is a Shlamim when it doesn't have the breads, and this might be what led Rashi earlier on to say that when you bring it without the breads, you bring it as a Shlamim, because it's a Todah or a Shlamim. It's one of the two. Todah is with Lechem, Shlamim is without the Lechem. Now, Todah is a subset of Shlamim, a specialized subset of Shlamim, but if you eliminate the Lechem, it turns back into a regular Shlamim. On the other hand, the Kivtzei Atzeret are called Zevach Shlamim. They only have one name. It's called a Shlamim, and that's it. It doesn't have two manifestations, and therefore, it's only one type of Korban. That Korban is connected to the Lechem, and that's the sole manifestation of the Korban. Whereas the Todat Shlamav has two manifestations. There's one where it's connected to the Lechem, one where it's disconnected from the Lechem. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it. Balya Tosafot, on the other hand, explained over here, Avagav de Kisei Atzeret Nami Kre Shlamim Lo Domi. It's not the same. Shareim Kodshei Kodoshim. There's something unusual about the Kivtzei Atzeret, even though they're Shlamim, they're only Shlamei Tzibor that are brought in the Mikdash. Number two is that they are considered Kodshei Kodoshim, as opposed to regular Shlamim, which are considered to be Kodshim Kalim. Lo yofin mi kodshim kalim. Inami, lo yofin in shamei tzibur mi shamei yachid. As I noted before, these are the only shlamim that are brought in the tzibur. There are no other shlamim that are brought in the tzibur. And this is shlamim of a yachid when we're talking about a todah or shlamim. So there are distinctions, even though they're both called shlamim. Tosfot indicates that there are distinctions between them that might explain the difference in the ruling why a todah can turn into a shlamim, whereas a shlamim of Kivtzei Atzeret can't turn into a regular shlamim. It is only a Shlamei Tzibur. It's a specialized type of Shlamim that doesn't have any other manifestation besides being a Korban Tzibur that is Kodshei Kodoshim. Okay, now, Amar Reb Yirmiyah, Imtim Salomar Tnufa Osa Zika, if we assume that Tnufa has the capacity to create a intertwining or interdependence between the Kvasim and the Lechem, then the outcome would be the following. Avad Lechem, if the Lechem is lost or something happens to Lechem, Abdu Kvasim. You'd have to dispose of the Kvasim, you couldn't bring the Kvasim. Abdu Kvasim, Avad Lechem. And similarly, in the other direction, if the Kvasim were lost, so would be the Lechem, meaning that they're completely interdependent on each other, they're ma'akev each other, based on Rabbi Yochanan's Shita above, that Shchita does that. If you believe Tnufa also does that, that'd be the outcome of Tnufa. Vimtim Tzolomar Tnufa Eino Sazika. If you believe that Tnufa does not have that capacity, only Shchita, then Hevi Lechem Ukvasim Vihunfu. What happens in a situation where you brought the Lechem and the Kvasim, and you did the wave offering of them together prior to the Shchita? Bavad Lechem. And then the lechem was lost. Vevi lechem acher. And then you bring replacement lechem, which is permitted because shchita is the cutoff point for making them kedushat aguf, where they can no longer be replaceable, as we saw in the Braita just previously with regards to the Todah. Ota lechem tu'un tenufa, o ein ta'un tenufa. Does that lechem require a wave offering, or does it not require a wave offering? So the question really is that when you wave the kvasim and the lechem together, what is the purpose of that wave offering? One possibility is that they both need to be waved, and you're just doing them together. So in that case, if you're missing the lechem and you replace it, you did the wave offering of the kvasim, but you didn't do the wave offering of the lechem, and you would require a new wave offering. On the other hand, maybe it's just primarily for the kvasim, and the lechem goes along for the ride. If that's the case, then the wave offering of kvasim was already done, and the new lechem don't require a new wave offering because they're just going for the ride. The third possibility, which the Gemara does not entertain, is the fact that the wave offering is for the lechem, and then the kvasim are coming along for the ride. And that means that then, if the lechem disappeared, it would require a new wave offering. If the kvasim went missing, then the lechem, having had a tenufa already, would be sufficient, which the Gemara does not entertain, and that's because the Shchita Takeves is Mekadesh the Lechem. And therefore, there has to be some Tnufa that's done with them together, or they have to be brought together, because the Kvasim, even according to Rabbi Kiva, are essential to the Kedushat Aguf of the Lechem. And that's what the Gemara says now. Avdu Kvasim, if the Kvasim got lost, Loti Bayilach. There we don't have any question. The Vadai Bay Tnufa, that for sure you need a wave offering. And that means, according to the Sfatemet, the Fiat Tosafot, that means, even according to Rabbi Akiva, you require a new wave offering because of the fact that the Kvasim are Mekadesh the Lechem. Kiti Bailach, when do you have a question, which is Avad Lechem, if the Lechem disappears? Valibid Ben Nanas. According to Ben Nanas, Loti Bailach, you don't have any question, Damar Kvasim Ikar. Because he says the Kvasim are the main part. So therefore, since the Kvasim already had their wave offering and the bread was just coming along for a ride, the bread does not have to have a new wave offering done to it, because the Kvasim got their wave offering, and we just move forward with the Lechem, and you replace the Lechem to do all the rest of the Avodot that need to be done together with the Lechem. Kiti Bailoch, the question really arises, Alibid Rabbi Akiva, Damar Lechem Ikar. He thinks that the Lechem is the primary item. My, what's the din? Kevin the Lechem Ikar by Itnufa. Since the Lechem is the primary object, it requires a new wave offering in order that it also has a wave offering, and not just the Kvasim. Odilma, Kevin de Matirin Didei Kvasim Ninhu, since they are permitted through the Kvasim, meaning the Kvasim are what grant them Kedusha Daguf, would also make them permissible to eat in afterwards. Lo tzarech tenufa, you don't need another tenufa, since the Kvasim already had a tenufa, and they're still only subordinate to the Kvasim, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Teiku, we leave that as an unresolved issue. Amalei Abaye the Rava, Maishna Shnei Kvasim de Mekadshei Lechem Umeakve. What's this so special about the Kvasim that tells us that they are Mekadesh the Lechem, and they're also Me'akev the Lechem when they're brought together, meaning when the Shkita is done together, there is a Nizkak Echad the Sheini. And that's because we learned, in yesterday's daf, we learned that there are many korbanot that come with the Shtei Lechem in Parshat Emor. It says, Miboshvetechem Taviu Lechem Tnufa, Shtaim Shneesu Neim Soti, and Achametz Te'afena Bikurim Lashem. Yikravdem al Lechem, Shivat Kvasim Tmimim B'nei Shana. You have 7 Kvasim for an Ola, Par Ben Bakar, 1 Par Echad the Ola, Elim Shnaim and 2 Elim for the Ola. You Ola Lashem, Minchatam Niskem, Misher Yach Nechoach Lashem. Then, in addition, you have a Sirizim Echad the Chatat, Ushne Kvasim B'nei Shana, the Zevach Shlamim, 2 Kvasim the Shlamim. Then, Venifo Kurim Otam, Al Lechem Abikurim, Tnufa Lifnei Hashem, Oshne Kvasim. Then you do the wave offering with the Shnei Kvasim, Kodesh Yul Hashem LaKohen. So how do you know that the Zevach HaShlamim are the items that are connected to the Lechem, and they're the item that is Mekadesh Lechem, and they're the items that are Nizkakim Echad HaSheini, when you do Shchita of them together, that they would then become intertwined or interdependent, and they would be Akev each other? Why don't we say the same thing with regards to the Olot that are brought along with the Lechem? And that's what Abaye asks, Rova, Maishna Shnei Kvasim de Mekadesh Lechem Ma'akve, Maishna Shiva Kvasim Upar Ve'elim to Lo Mekadesh Lechem. And they're not ma'akev the lechem. Now, the fact that they're not ma'akev the lechem, it's a question whether that should be in the girsa or if it's just brought down agav grorah, because we had a on memhei that told us that they're not ma'akev each other, that the olot are not ma'akev the lechem is not ma'akev the olot. The achronim asked that question over here and suggests, so it is a Tosfot brings from Rashi, which is that if they are chuzkuku zelazeh b'shchita, similar to the way that we discussed with the kvasim and the lechem, that if they're shechted together, then they become interdependent. Maybe over here too, if they're shechted together, they become interdependent. As that Tosfot brings from Rashi, the explanation of what it means here that they are lo me'akve. So Amarle, hov hizku ze leze, since they are necessary for each other, b'tnufa, in the wave offering, as we read in the Psukim, the wave offering includes the lechem together with the kvasim, so they become interdependent because of that. Mar says, is that really true? Vare toda, delo huskuku ze leze. By the toda, they are not interdependent with regards to the tnufa. The tnufa is not done before the shchita, it's only done after the shchita, and therefore there's no tnufa of the lechem together with the animal while it's still alive. So there they don't have huskuku ze leze tnufa u'mekacha. And nevertheless, the toda is mekadesh the lechem u'meak, and it's also me'akev the lechem. So that means that tenufa cannot be the trigger that creates the interdependence between them, because we have by the todah a similar interdependence between the todah and the lechem, yet they don't have any tenufa together. Ela ketodah. Rather, because they are similar to a case of the todah. Ma todah shlamim. Just like the todah is a shlamim, ahachanami shlamim. So to over here, the shlamim will be connected to the lechem. Just like the todah is a subset of shlamim, and it's what mekadesh the lechem. So to over here, the shlamim that are similar to other shlamim and similar to the todah would be the object that creates the kedusha for the lechem. Or it says midami. Cases are not comparable at all. Hotam leka zvachim acharine b'hadei. The todah is a sole korban that comes with the lechem. That's why it's the one that's interdependent with the lechem, because there's no other choice. Hachadika zvachim acharine b'hadei. Over here you have the shlamim and you have other korbanot. The kachu hani v'hani. Let all the korbanot be essential to being mekadesh the lechem, not just the kvasim. Why are you saying that it's all about shlamim? It's by shlamim by the todah, because there's no other korban. Over here with the other korbanot, maybe they all contribute to the kedushat lechem. Ela ke'el nazir. It's like the shlamim that is brought when the nazir finishes his nazirut. He brings 3 korbanot. He brings an ola, a chatat, and a shlamim. So there you have multiple korbanot, just like over here. You have chatat, ola, and shlamim, similar to the el nazir. And ma el nazir, afgav de'ika zvachim achrine. By the el nazir, despite the fact that there are other zvachim, shlamim hud mekadshe, it's the shlamim that Kadesh the lechem. The nazir brings lechem together with his shlamim, and that lechem is nitkadesh ayidei the shlamim, the el hanazir, and that's despite the fact that there's an olah and a chatat. And therefore, and just like by the el nazir, dikas vachim akrine, Shlamim Udimekachi Midiachin Elo. It's the Shlamim that does the Kiddush of the Lechem and not the other Korbanot. Achenami Loshna, also over here, by the case of Atzeret by Shavuot, it's the Shlamim that will be Mekadesh Lechem and not the Olot or the Chatat. V'hotami Nolan, and how do we know by the El Nazir that it's actually the Shlamim that does that? You have three Korbanot there. How do you know that that's the Korban? But it says, V'ayel yaseh zera Shlamim la'ashem, asal ha-matzot, v'meich asal ba'chova la'ayel. Here's a connection between the basket of matzot, the breads that are brought, and the El Shlamim. It says, zevach Shlamim, zevach min shchita. So the shchita of the Shlamim is what creates the kedusha of the sal matzot. So the sal comes as a chovah, the el shchitat ayel mikadshan, and therefore the shchita of the ayel is mikadesh them. Lefikach, therefore shachatol shelo lishmo, you shechted it with improper intent, lo kitchu alechem. And as Tosfot points out, it doesn't matter if you did the ola and the chatat l'shem proper korban. It's only the shlamim that has that power, and therefore the shlamim shelo lishma and the olot and the ola and the chatat lishmo, it still will not rescue the chalot. And that would be the paradigm that we use to show us here that it's also the shlamim that are mekadesh the shtei halechem. Tanu Rabanan, shtei halechem abot bifnei atzman yunfu v'tubar tzuratan. So you have a braita that says the two lechem that are bought by themselves. So according to Rashi, this means this is going to Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that the lechem is essential and that the kvasim are not me'akev the lechem. So there, the lechem that's brought by itself, they should be a wave offering done with themselves. The two bartzu ratan, and then you leave them overnight till they become slightly decomposed. It's to the beit ha'sreifa, and they go out to be burnt. So here the Achronim ask, how can you have the lechem come by themselves? Even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says the lechem comes by itself, he still believes that the shlamim are mekadesh the lechem kedushat haguf. How do you have the lechem come by itself and attain kedushat haguf? So the Karen Ora suggests over here that it's based on the pshita that the oven in the Migdash was made out of metal and was a kli sharet and it's mekadesh the lechamim kedushat haguf. So it's according to that shita, and that's how you get kedushat haguf. That's shkita the kvasim. On the other hand, the Chazanish, and I think the Griz, suggest that it's actually the wave offering itself that creates the kedusha. Thereby, by doing the wave offering, that's what elevates it to kedusha taguf, because there's a process that's done to it. That's enough to elevate it to kedusha taguf. So now the Gemara says manafshach ila achila atyan. If they are brought to be eaten, lichlinhu, then eat them. If they need to be burnt, the sarfinu la'altar, burn them up right away. What's this idea that you wait a period of time until they decompose, and then you burn them out to sreifa, which usually is an indication that we have a safek, or it's not something that's inherently problematic with the item, and therefore we have to wait till they lina, they stay overnight, and then they go out to beit ha'sreifa. So the Gemara is saying, mimanoshach, either eat them or burn them right away. So amar rabba de'olam la'achila atyon. The truth is that they could be eaten gezera, but the reason we don't eat them is because of gezera shimon yizdamnu lehem kvasim l'shana haba. Because maybe in the following year, this year they only had enough for the lechem and only found lechem to bring on Shavuot. The following year they'll have kvasim and lechem. V'emru eshtakad lo achalnu lechem below kvasim. Didn't last year, didn't we eat the lechem without the kvasim? We didn't have to wait around for the kvasim to eat the lechem. Shav nami nechol. This year too, we also should eat it. V'inu lo yadei deshtakad. They won't remember, won't realize that last year lo avu kvasim. There were no kvasim, and therefore inhu shayu nefshayu, and therefore the lechem was makshir itself and was permitted itself. So in order to protect against this, because now hashtadika kvasim, now that there are kvasim hu deshari luhu, and you have to wait for the shchita the kvasim and the processing of the kvasim before you can eat the lechem. It's very similar to what we're going to see further on the Masechta on Daf Samachem and Bed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai with regards to the Yom HaNeif, the Omer that's brought, that maybe if we do something this year, it'll have impact on the following year and people will misattribute the reasons for why it was done in the previous year and will make a mistake in the following year, and therefore we make a gzera currently to protect against that eventuality. But that means that Rabbah believes that really you could have eaten these lechem. There's a gzera de rabbonon that prevents you from eating the lechem. That's why we have to wait till there's lina in order that it becomes disqualified, and then they're brought out to Sreifa, and then like, we can't sreif them right away. Amarabba Menaminala, I can prove to you that that's the case. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Shkalim, which we saw back on Daf Chaf Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Heid ben Bukhri b'Yavne. Ben Bukhri was Meid in Yavne, Kol Kohen Sheshokel Eino Chote. Any Kohen who gives a shekel, it's no problem. Meaning that we assume that they give it as a donation to the Mikdash, and it's not a problem. But that means that they're not really obligated to give a shekel. Amarlo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, lo. That's not the case. Any Kohen who doesn't give a shekel is a chote. because there's a requirement that anybody that's Ogolo Vera Bikudim, anybody who is from the age of 20 and above, has to bring the shekel to participate in the Korbanot HaTzibur, and the Kohanim have to contribute as well, just like anybody else has to contribute, so too do the Kohanim have to contribute. Now, some want to suggest that there's a ptur for the Kohanim, because Kol Vera Bikudim is for the Tzava, is for the army, and so therefore the Kohanim are not part of that count. We discussed this earlier on Chof Aleph. First of all, there is a Pikud for the Kohanim separate from the Bnei Yisrael, but even if you want to say that it's a Pikud that's for the Tzava, the Yerushalmi says that the explanation will be that Kol Vera Bikudim is not the Pikudim for the army, but the Bikudim, those that went through the Yam Suf, and therefore the Kohanim are included in that. Now, why were the Kohanim thinking that they shouldn't do this? The Kohanim or doresh this pasuk for their own benefit. Shizchol mincha kohen kalil tiyeh lo teachel. That any mincha of a kohen is completely burnt on the mizbeach, and it's not eaten. You don't take off a kometz, and the rest goes to the kohanim to eat. The entire thing goes on the mizbeach. Hoyo, in the korbanot tzibur, there's the omer, the shtei lechem, and the lechem hapanim. Those are all considered to be menachot. And since they're considered to be menachot, if a kohen donates to it, the kohanim would say, oh, it has to be kalil. And how could it be that we would bring and donate to the Shkalim, because if we're participants in the Korbanot HaTzibur, they'd have to be burnt, and how come these Korbanot are eaten? That shows you that Shelanuheim, if they belong to us, Heach Nechalim, how could they be eaten? Because they should have to go a Kalil LaHashem. So the answer to that is either that the Kohanim just donate their money, and they're part of the Tzibur, and Korbanot HaTzibur are not subject to this din of Kalil LaTiyeh LaHashem, the Kalil Tiyeh, that they have to be totally burnt, or they are, Rashi says in one place, batel to the Rov Yisrael, therefore it's not an issue, or because the shekel that they give is donated generically, and it doesn't go towards any particular korban, and therefore there's no requirement of kalil tiyeh for the monies of Kohanim. Nevertheless, the Kohanim are darshaning this for their own benefit, so they don't have to give machatzita shekel. And the Gemara wants to know, hani shtei alechem hechi dami. When do the shtei alechem consider it to be a mincha? Ilim ubevotim azevach. If it's when they came with the zevach, atu todah v'lachmam ilo menadve kohanim v'achleilu, can a kohen bring a korban todah with its lechem, and the korban todah is mekadesh the lechem, and nobody says that the lechem, the korban todah, has to be kalil tiyeh, it's not considered to be a mincha. So to over here, if the kvasim were brought with the lechem, then the kvasim, once they're shechted, the mekadesh the lechem, doesn't make them into a mincha. Therefore, why would they think it'd be kalil Hashem? The omer and lechem apanim, we know, are considered to be menachot. So therefore, there they would be kalil Hashem if it belonged to the kohen. But over here, by the shtei lechem, what's the havamina that it should be belong to the kohen and be considered like a mincha? Ella, it must be lav bevot bifnei atzman. They were brought alone. It's a case like Rabbi Akiva, where you could bring the lechem by themselves without the kvasim. And the Braita says, how were they eaten? Or how could we eat them? That's what the Kohanim say. So you see that they would have eaten the shtei alechem. So that's his proof. Alma, l'achila atyin. His proof that the shtei alechem, when they're brought by themselves, are brought to be eaten. No, it's a case where they're brought together with the kvasim. Mi todah, your question from the todan lachma, where the kohen brings it and the lachamim are not burnt. Lachmei todah lo ikrei mincha. Shtei alechem ikrei mincha. That's because the lachmei todah are never called a mincha. Whereas the shtei alechem are called the minchash. Nemar, it says in the psukim, in the musafim of Shavuot, in Parashat Pinchas, karvivchem mincha chadasha la'ashem. So it's called the mincha chadasha. So the shtei alechem are called the mincha chadasha, mincha. Yosef amar, so Rav Yosef argues in Rabbah and says, olam l'sreifa atyan. They really are to be burnt right away. V'hain etayim et zelot safinin. So then why don't we burn them right away? The fish ain't sorfim kochim b'yom tov. Because you're not sereif kochim on yom tov. You're not allowed to burn kochim that go pasul on yom tov. I'm like, bye, midomi. But it's no comparable in between the cases. Hotam lav mitzvatam bikach. Over there, where you have something that's pasul, that needs to be burnt, something went wrong. There's something that's improper here, and that's why you have to burn them, because there was something improper that was done with them. That's not permitted in Yom Tov. Hotam mitzvatam bikach. The surfino. Over here, this is what proper process for them to be done is to be burnt. Meted to have a parasayir shayom kippurim. Similar to the parasayir and shayom kippurim that are taken in lifnim, they are burnt on Yom Kippur. Even though there's no burning of Kodshim and Yom Tov, they are burnt because that's part of the mitzvah. So to over here, the mitzvah is to burn the shtei halechem. El amar Rav Yosef, gzeira shem yizdam lehem kvasim nachar mikein. Rav Yosef says, okay, I accept the bias question. Why can't they burn them right away? It's because maybe there's a chance that kvasim will show up later in the day. Since kvasim will show up late in the day, we hold on to the lechem to say possibly there'll be kvasim to be brought alongside these lechem. Amalei Abai, etina kol zman hakravatam. That makes sense that as long as they can be brought on the mizbeach. As soon as that time expires, they should be burnt. Why do you have to wait till the next morning until you burn them? You should burn them as soon as they expire. So Gemara answers, Maitu bar tzaratan, nami. What does it mean that you wait until there's lina or until they decompose a little bit? Diktani tzurata karavatam, when they lose their ability to be put on the mizbeach. Rashi claims that they can be put on the mizbeach until tamid shel ben arba'im, because tamid shel ben arba'im is the final korban of the day, and there's an assay afterwards not to bring any other korbanot afterwards, and you won't violate that assay. Tosvot is bothered by that because in general, for Korban Eitz Tzibur, we do violate that assay of the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, and therefore he says that the cutoff time would be nighttime when you can no longer bring the Korbanot. But either way, according to that view of Rav Yosef, the Sreifa would take place at the end of the day, as soon as there was no possibility that the Kvasim could be brought anymore. Rava Amar de Achila Atyan, he says, like Rabba, that the purpose of the Shtei Lechem is to be eaten. So we have Rabba saying the purpose is to be eaten, and we have Rava saying that. Rav Yosef says the purpose is to be burnt. We just hold on to them in case we get the kvasim in between. As soon as we don't have the kvasim, we burn them. But Rava says, mishum de Rabba, and the gzera is because of Rabba, v'lav mitame, but it's not for his reason. Elamikra. Rabba had a number of parts to his position. First of all, he says they should have been eaten. Rava says, I agree with that. Number two is, there's a gzera this year, to next year, because we're afraid that if we let you eat them this year right away, next year you'll do the same thing, even when there are kvasim. Now, the reason why they're to be eaten, Rabba brought the proof from the Braita in Shkalim, the Mishnah in Shkalim, as his proof, the fact that they should be eaten. Rabba says, I have a pasuk that tells me that. From a Rabba, I mean, Allah, I'll prove it to you, dichtiv, v'moshvatechem, tavio lechem tnufa, shtayim shnei asunim, so tienach hametz tefenem, bikurim la'ashem. The shtei alechem are called bikurim. Ma bikurim bifnei atzman. Just like bikurim are brought up to the mikdash by themselves, without any other accompaniment. And so too, the shtei alechem can be brought without any other accompaniment. Umina. And from that itself, ma bikurim lachila. The purpose of the bikurim that are brought to mikdash is that they're given to the kohanim to be eaten. Avshtei alechem nami lachila. So too, when you bring the shtei alechem by themselves, they are designated for achila. Okay, stop here at the bottom of Menvav Amud Bet.